Road of Life. Brought to you by Dove, D-U-Z, Dove, the new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery.
Yesterday, I met a lady you may know. She was a lady who didn't.
Didn't what?
Didn't believe that does everything in the wash. She didn't know does is best. You see, this lady had been using the same old wash day soap for years.
Sort of got into the habit and didn't see any reason to change.
Well, how did does enter your life?
Well, by accident.
Accident?
Mm-hmm. My youngster brought some does home one day by mistake.
Oh.
I was kind of sore about it. I didn't feel like experimenting on my wash.
You have a tough wash?
I'll say. Greasy overalls, messy towels, and lots of rayons to fuss with.
Say, you should be a lady who does instead of a lady who didn't. Does everything. It gives you unsurpassed whiteness for towels, unbeaten suds for getting out tough dirt, plus greater safety for the colored rayons you wash.
Believe me, now I'm a lady who does.
Swell. What about those overalls now?
Oh, they're a breeze with does. No more hard scrubbing for me.
No soap made gets dirt out easier than does. How are your towels now?
Whitest white I've ever hung on my wash line.
Right. No soap washes whiter than does. And are your colored rayons being treated right?
Wonderful. Does leaves them brighter.
Of course. Does gives colors better care. This new kind of soap does everything. Does is best. Actual comparisons with 25 different wash day soaps prove it. Does beat them all with its amazing combination of white washes, suds for cleaning, and safety to colors. You'll find does best. Does everything. And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life. Jim Brent has been charged with a breach of medical ethics. That, in essence, is why a meeting of the staff and board of trustees of City Hospital is being held at the moment. Actually, however, Jim is fighting to preserve his name in the medical profession. Should the decision go against him, he stands to lose every shred of the reputation which he has spent years in building. This crisis in his life has been brought about deliberately by the one surgeon in City Hospital who, for years, has shown a marked dislike for him, Grant Frazier. In defending himself, Jim has called upon Tom Parsons, an intern, to give his version of the Brent Frazier clash. This over the violent disapproval of Grant Frazier. Now, shortly after 2:30 in the afternoon in the boardroom of the hospital, those members of the staff and trustees who are able to attend the meeting in spite of the short notice given by Frazier prepare to listen to Tom Parsons' testimony. Mr. Leo Clark, chairman of the board, who overruled Frazier's suggestion that the young intern be denied the right to speak, motions him to come forward.
That's it, Dr. Parsons. Sit down. Sit down.
Here, sir?
That's right. Now, where would you begin this story you have to tell us?
In the first floor corridor.
What were you doing there?
I was just coming out of one of the wards when a nurse came up to me and told me Dr. Brent wanted me.
And where was Dr. Brent?
Down the corridor a bit. He was standing beside an emergency cart. An accident case had just been brought in by ambulance.
The patient was on that cart, was he?
Yes, sir. He was in pretty bad shape, too. Dr. Brent told me he was going to take him up to surgery immediately. Said he wanted me to assist.
I see.
I think I should tell you, sir, that the accident case wasn't Dr. Brent's patient. The nurse who was on receiving duty that morning turned it over to Dr. Frazier.
But Dr. Brent intervened. Is that what you mean to say?
Yes, sir. He had no choice. Dr. Frazier seemed especially busy and devoted very little time to the accident case.
What do you mean by especially busy? What was Dr. Frazier doing?
If I may, sir.
Yes, Dr. Frazier.
I take exception to that question. The young man was in no position to know what I was doing at the moment. If he thinks he knows, he has...
I beg your pardon, Dr. Frazier, but he didn't offer the information. I asked him. Go on, son. Dr. Parsons.
According to the nurse, Dr. Frazier was busy with a private patient.
Oh, go on.
Dr. Brent and I took the accident case directly to surgery. At first, we had some difficulty in getting an operating room.
For an emergency case?
It was around 6:30 in the morning. That's when the heavy operating schedule begins, and all but one of the rooms was taken. We finally got it, though. I don't know whether I should say how Dr. Brent got it, or...
That's perfectly all right, Tom. Go ahead.
Well, the nurse in charge didn't want to give us the room because it had been reserved for Dr. Frazier. You see, he had a chronic appendectomy case.
Well, he doesn't have any idea of what type of case it was.
Well, according to the case history, the appendectomy was chronic. There was no hurry for an operation. Unless Dr. Frazier deliberately rewrote the condition of that patient, well...
Dr. Parsons!
Sorry, sir.
Go on, Dr. Parsons.
Dr. Brent put the patient on the table immediately, and we started the operation. While we were in the midst of finishing up some work on the femur, Dr. Frazier came into the theater. At first, I didn't pay much attention because there was so much to do. But then I couldn't help overhearing the conversation he was having with Dr. Brent.
And that conversation was?
Dr. Frazier asked Dr. Brent how soon he'd be finished. Well, there was still a great deal to be done. Dr. Brent said it would take another hour, maybe an hour and a half. And when he said that, Dr. Frazier got... he became provoked.
And then what happened?
Well, they kept talking back and forth while Dr. Brent was operating. Next thing I knew, Dr. Brent asked Dr. Frazier to leave. Dr. Frazier wouldn't leave. Dr. Brent said he couldn't take the accident case off the table.
Even with the limited experience you've had in surgery, could Dr. Brent have taken his patient off the table?
If he'd taken him off, sir, I believe the patient couldn't have survived for more than half an hour at the most.
You had an opportunity to see everything?
Yes, sir.
Very well. What happened next?
Well, there was a lot more arguing up and back, and finally it got so bad that Dr. Brent stopped.
Stopped operating, you mean?
Yes, sir. He stopped and asked Dr. Frazier to leave again. And he turned and told me to get ready to begin a new incision. Nurse handed Dr. Brent a scalpel. Just as he was about to start the incision, Dr. Frazier grabbed him by the arm and swung him around.
Would you know why he did that?
Either to stop Dr. Brent from making the new incision or to make Dr. Brent listen to what he had to say.
Then what?
And Dr. Brent pulled back and hit him on the cheek with his fist. In my opinion, it was the only thing he could have done. There was the patient lying on the table.
We are interested only in what you saw, Dr. Parsons, not your opinion. What happened after Dr. Brent struck Dr. Frazier?
Dr. Frazier got up from the floor and left the operating room. And if Dr. Brent continued the operation, that was all.
Is there anything further you believe we should know, Dr. Parsons?
No, sir.
Dr. Frazier, do you wish to question Dr. Parsons?
No, sir, I do not.
Very well, Dr. Parsons. Thank you for the testimony you've offered. I believe we're finished with you.
This is all?
You can go now, Dr. Parsons.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Clark, I should like to raise a question in regard to the testimony just offered.
I asked you, Dr. Frazier, whether you wanted to question that boy before he left. Couldn't you have made up your mind sooner?
It isn't a matter of questioning, Mr. Clark. I ask that the testimony given by Dr. Parsons be thrown out.
I object to
order,
that.
Order.
Naturally, Dr. Brent would object, but I ask, and with good cause, too, that the testimony be disregarded.
And that good cause you've just mentioned is what?
To some of you, what I'm about to say is quite obvious. I'm certain that a good many doctors in this room must have realized the circumstances involved long before I did. To those of you who wonder why I waited until young Dr. Parsons finished his testimony, left the room before I objected to it, let me say that I didn't wish to embarrass the boy unnecessarily. The facts, however, are these. James Brent served his internship and was for many years associated with the father of the man who just testified. James Brent and Dr. Thomas Parsons Sr. were and still are the very closest of friends. Tom Parsons knew this man and was taught to respect him from the time that he came to this hospital to serve his internship himself. Bearing these ties of years and friendship in mind,
How else could Tom Parsons tell the story of what happened in that operating theater than from Jim Brent's point of view?
What you're saying is that he has no mind of his own.
On the contrary, what I'm saying is that the mind Dr. Parsons does have is of necessity colored to such a degree that any testimony he offered would be absolutely one-sided.
What you're doing, then, is calling that boy a liar.
Dr. Brent, I'll have to ask you to take your seat again, please. Dr. Frazier still has the floor.
Yes.
Thank you. Gentlemen, some of you are new here. Others of you, however, are fully aware and have been for years of the extremely close relationship between Dr. Brent and the father of the young man who just gave you his warped and twisted view of what has happened.
That's the most unfair
thing. I ask you in the name of decency and fairness to consider the testimony you heard prejudiced and distorted.
Mr. Clark.
I ask that it be stricken from the record and ignored.
That would be shameful.
This question is far too large for me to decide, gentlemen. Therefore, the decision will be made by vote. A simple showing of hands will be enough. Those in favor of disregarding the testimony? Those opposed? It's the opinion of this meeting, Dr. Brent, that the testimony offered by Dr. Parsons on your behalf be thrown out. Gentlemen, gentlemen, please. Very well. Let's have a 15-minute recess. We'll meet back here at 3:15. This meeting is recessed.
Jim Brent, realizing that his only witness has been discounted, starts slowly, dejectedly toward the door. In contrast, Grant Frazier, smiling broadly, stands in the center of a milling crowd of doctors and trustees. Obviously, his air of confidence is well justified. Thus far, the signs of victory are pointing toward him. We all take pride in a job well done. So when it comes to washing dishes, let Does do them. Haven't you heard me say Does is best? It does everything in your wash? That holds true for dishwashing, too.
Well, I'm just a bride. I haven't been washing dishes very long, but I don't like any part of it.
You like dozing dishes. This new kind of wash day soap really does everything for dishes.
For instance?
Well, look, would you like suds that stand up till the last dish is done?
That would help.
That's Does. This new kind of soap bounces into suds the instant you turn on the water. Suds that last so you don't keep reaching for more soap. And say, wouldn't you like fast action on grease?
Now you're talking.
Even the toughest frying pan is a cinch with Does. It whips through grease with no hard scouring. And here's something brides from 16 to 60 like. Does is kinder to hands than any other leading wash day soap. It leaves them wonderfully soft and smooth.
Say, I'm gonna Does my dishes.
Smart gal. Does best. In the dishpan, too. Does everything. Be sure to listen Monday when D-U-Z Does will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for the makers of Does, the soap that does everything in your wash. More than ever, our government needs used fat. More than ever, you need red points. Save used fat. Get 2 points per pound.